Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
I know I have bitterly disappointed all of you. I'm embarrassed that I have put you in this position. For all that I have done, I am so sorry. I have a lot to atone for.
Faith does one's own religion, but must respect all major world religious traditions.
Islam is and must be an important part of the solution in confronting violent extremism.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Well, talk about a Bible story that usually guilts people. The story of those 10 lepers, only one came back to say he was thankful. It's a famous Sunday school story regarding Jesus healing 10 lepers. And from the time I was in Sunday school, it was always a source of guilt. You're never thankful enough, are you? There has to be something more in that story than just an example of our lack of thankfulness. We'll talk about that here in about 20 minutes on Issues Etc. with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. In the meantime, the Issues Etc. comment line is filling up, so we have to empty some of it out and listen to your comments and respond here in the first half hour of this Wednesday afternoon, February the 24th. Issues Etc. You can join us for the next 2 hours. Our call-in number 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you could Twitter us at @issuesetc. As I said, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us halfway through this first hour to teach a Sunday school lesson. We'll talk about Jesus healing 10 lepers. Wendy Wright will join us in the second hour. There is a woman who claims that she's going to chronicle her abortion live on the internet. She claims to be doing it right now. She has taken abortion-inducing drugs, and she's telling people about it on Facebook and Twittering about it, and people are paying attention. We'll talk with Wendy Wright of Concerned Women for America about that in the second hour of the program. Sarah Yeomans of Biblical Archaeology Review joins us to bring us an update on the discovery of a 3,000-year-old wall in Jerusalem that may verify the historical claims of the Old Testament right around Solomon's time. And then Dr. Ben Mays will join us to remember, along with the church, Matthias, Apostle of Jesus, in the last half hour of Issues Etc. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. You can Twitter us at @issuesetc. And it's time for the Issues Etc. comment line. First, a question about the father who had his daughter baptized and attended a Catholic church with her in spite of the objections of his ex-wife.
Hi, it's Todd from Alexandria, Virginia, calling in. I listened to the recent show on the divorced father who had his child baptized, and after listening to the discussion, I had one question that didn't get brought up on there, and specifically, what's the role of the pastor, or in this case, the priest, in the decision to baptize a child and then to actually do the baptism? What I thought was that it seemed that the priest would have said to the father, what does your ex-wife think about this? And maybe engaged him in some sort of discussion around that. So the specific question is, what's the role of the pastor in this, and what does the pastor do in these types of situations?
Well, it's a very good question. Now, we don't know what this priest actually did. He may not have inquired about the other parent. He may have inquired and come to the judgment that if the father wanted this child baptized, it was best to have this child baptized. Normally, I think responsible pastoral behavior would call for you'd ask questions, if there's a situation of divorce, to ask questions about the will of the other parent. It may or may not be determinative as to whether a pastor will baptize a child. So the role should be to inquire as far as necessary, and the best of all possible worlds would be for, if the other parent is resistant, the pastor would want to have a chance to talk to him and bring them around to a biblical way of thinking about this, that may not be possible. The real question swirling around that whole issue is whether or not the father should have done this over against what he knew, and he did know, his wife's objections were to having the child baptized, to baptize out of spite. See what I'm talking about? Or take your kid out of spite. It's hard to tell what he was doing. He says he just simply wanted his child baptized, but then he takes her to church against the court order and asks the press to pay attention to it. So one begins to suspect there are other motivations here. Of course, the motivation is irrelevant to the child and to the child's baptism, but I think those are the bigger questions here.
This is Michael in Illinois commenting on Tuesday's show about the father who baptized his child against the wishes of her custodial mother. The program brought up many interesting points with which I agree, so I won't reiterate them here. However, there is one additional idea that I would like to throw into the hopper. The mother is basing her claims and cause of action on the premise that when they got married, the father agreed to raise their children Jewish. While he really doesn't have a leg to stand on for the contempt charges and disobeying the temporary restraining order, I think he should have argued to quash the order on the basis that the marriage contract is unenforceable. No-fault divorce has rendered every other clause of the marriage contract unenforceable. The contract is until death us do part, but it is enforced as whenever I get bored with you. The contract is all my worldly goods I thee endow, but is enforced as I keep all my stuff and get half of our stuff. The contract is for better or for worse, but is enforced as I didn't sign on for all this difficulty. Why should the mother expect this clause of the contract to be enforced when all others are unenforceable? Don't get me wrong. I think that marriage covenants ought to be enforceable, but that is not the current state of matrimonial law in our country. Thank you for all that you do, and keep up the good work.
Well, smartest listeners in radio, I often say it, and it's quite true. I mean, I'm a simple guy. I'm no lawyer. I don't have a law degree, but I look at it and I say, if the agreement to raise the child Jewish was made under the auspices of their marriage, husband and wife both raising this child together, once the marriage is off, that deal is off too. And, you know, responsible people don't necessarily make promises like that without at least an asterisk next to them, do they? To say, I'm going to do this in perpetuity. There are very few things in this life that you can actually promise to do in that sense. Thank you very much. Excellent comment. Next, to vote on whether or not to keep the Issues Etc. comment line.
Hey, Issues Etc. comment line. This is Steve from Medford, Oregon, calling, wanting to keep the comment line in existence. Don't pull it. As a longtime iPod on-demand listener, it's the only way I can communicate with you, since I'm usually anywhere from 6 weeks to 1 week behind on listening to episodes. So keep it, keep it, keep it. That way us on-demanders and iPod listeners can comment on things that happened in the past. And thanks for your show.
Yeah, the comment line is like a little timeless bubble where whether you listened to the show yesterday, whether you listened to the show 3 weeks late or a month late, or in our case, you could be as late as almost 2 years now. You can always comment. We always want to listen. I mean, we're interested in stuff we talked about 2 years ago. And you can comment, make suggestions. And it's a timeless little bubble. We can just reach in and grab your comment. And it doesn't make any difference when we first aired it. It doesn't make any difference when you listen to it. We're always interested in what you have to say and your feedback. By the way, if you want to use the Issues Etc. comment line, it is up, running 24/7, 365 days a year, especially our on-demand listeners. And we do love you so. 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. We do love our on-demand listeners. Here's a belated vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
This is Paul in Milwaukee demonstrating a soundbite of the week use of the comment line, the latter currently suffering from underemployment and on the Issues Etc. endangered species list. I would have liked to have seen Kathy of St. Charles and Hey Steve, one of the current heavy hitters from the field, the panel, and the host on Thursday, jointly and inspired, grappling with repentance as a soundbite candidate but being an obedient issue sheep, I work within the rules and cast one vote for Dr. Nolan's comments on using laymen as teachers of the faith. Simply put, I think the issue as a whole and in stated and potential parts is more important than the other three candidates. Jesus said, go make disciples and teach. Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much for your comment. Well, the importance of a well-catechized, that is, well-educated in the faith, laity, cannot be overestimated. There have been many times in the life of the church where the clergy have gone wrong in the laity, perhaps because maybe they do look at things in a simpler way than some of their more educated laity, clergy, where the laity, because they have known the faith soundly, have been able to preserve the faith, not only in their own families, but sometimes in the Christian church. And for heaven's sakes, Lutherans hardly have a place to poo-poo an educated laity, much less what the trend is lately among Lutherans is to actually try and dumb them down as much as you can, keep them as in the dark on the details of the faith as you can, because they're easier to manipulate that way. Lutherans hardly have any justification for this. The very founding documents of the Lutheran Reformation in the 16th century, some of them, the first of them, were written almost entirely by a layman, a lay theologian, who proved that you can teach lay people theology. You know, when Issues Etc. started a long time ago, we were told you can't teach lay people theology. But we've been doing it for 15 years and more. You can. And we need to. You're quite right. It's the future of the church. The future of the church lies in the Word of God being preserved among us. And when the clergy won't preserve it and won't teach it, well, then it's up to the laity to learn it themselves. Maybe even teach their pastors a thing or two. We'll be right back.
If you call, I will answer. If you follow.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal is out. It contains an article I've written titled Legalism and License. How are these two really the same error? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. journal. You can also read about Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's journey from liberal Lutheranism and navel-gazing evangelicalism to the external promises of God in Holy Scripture. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
No Sonatocrats allowed. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Stephen Parks, on why your congregation should join the Issues Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc., the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Going through the Issues Etc. comment line on this Wednesday afternoon, February the 24th. A little bit later, Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us. We'll talk about Jesus healing 10 lepers. try and figure out a way that that story doesn't leave us all completely crushed by guilt for thanklessness, because if you're like me, you don't read that story with yourself as the one who came back and said thank you. You read yourself as the one who went there, the nine that went their merry way and forgot that Jesus had done anything at all. That's coming up a little later here on Issues Etc. Our call-in number live this Wednesday afternoon, February the 24th, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at @IssuesETC. Here's a comment about last Friday's show on Tiger Woods' apology.
Yes, this is Herman. Following on the comment of the Dalai Lama, Buddhism, and Tiger Woods, and Ken Samples' interview. Just one other thought. It was mentioned in there about a Christian talking to a Hare Krishna, perhaps at an airport or something. Some years back, there was quite a scandal in legal action that involved the investigation of children being sexually abused who were being raised in a Hare Krishna commune. And there was quite a bit of to-do about that. Very curious development, given that Buddhism was supposed to be about self-restraint. Apparently, a lot of the logic just couldn't handle it. So, very interesting. Good presentation by Ken Samples, an interview. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And we should say that tragedy can take place under the auspices of any religion. So we don't want to discount Buddhism just because there were some Hare Krishna, which is kind of tangentially related to mainstream Buddhism, some Hare Krishna people abusing children. No more than we would want someone to discount the truth claims of Christianity because Christian parents or people who claim to be Christian parents do the same. In fact, I think Christians are in a unique position to say to everyone, to the world, in the truest possible sense, the essence of Christianity is not in what we do or don't do. It's in the one in whom we trust. Christians should not, although sadly they often do, view themselves as billboards for the faith. We are examples of mercy. We're examples of having been shown forgiveness. We're examples of God not giving sinners what they deserve. We're not examples of exemplary moral behavior or character. We're not. None of us are. When St. Paul recommends his example, and he does this, if I'm not mistaken, in the book of Galatians, he says, I'm an example of God's mercy. That's it. God showed me mercy. I was a terrible man. I was a murderer. I was a blasphemer. He calls himself a blasphemer. And yet God showed me mercy. That should be what every Christian is about. If you want to be a witness, then go out and be an example of how merciful God can be. So that when people look at you, they say, wow, God would forgive someone like you? Christ would die so that someone like you could have his sins paid for? And you can say, absolutely. There's nothing that in me that is worth recommending. I think it's St. Paul who says, I see that there's no good that dwells in me, that is in my flesh. The strongest witness that Christians give to the world is one sinner telling another sinner where the Savior is, where salvation is, where forgiveness is, where mercy is. I mean, that is the one common trait to all mankind, isn't it? The one common trait to all mankind, with the exception of Jesus, is our sinfulness, our fallenness, our wretchedness. We all have a common experience there. Do I want to go out into the world and say to an unbeliever, first of all, let me tell you what we don't have in common. I'm morally better than you. My life is of a higher spiritual quality than yours is. I've moved beyond the sins that you find so vexing. I've overcome. I'm living a higher life. Is that how we want to approach the sinful world? Which is precisely how many Christians are counseled to approach the sinful world. Now, I'm not talking about going out and acting arrogant. I'm talking about not even telling the truth. That isn't even telling the truth. You start with a lie, and you also are starting with someone that something you don't have in common, or at least you think you don't have in common, with the sinner that you're trying to save. How much better is it to say, I'm just like you, in absolutely every way? You're sinful, you're fallen, you're wretched, so am I. You think you make mistakes, you think you screw up, you ought to see me. You have a hard time controlling your thoughts, your words, your deeds. You know that these things put you wrong with God. Welcome to the club. That's why we have the tagline here at Issues, Etc., for sinners only. The church is a sinners only club. Only sinners get in. If you're not a sinner, you don't need it. So we can approach the world saying, I'm not of a better moral caliber than you are. I'm sinful, I'm fallen, I'm wretched. As wretched and sinful and fallen as you are, let me tell you about someone who isn't. The one person who isn't like us, but took all of our sin and all our wretchedness and all our fallenness on himself for us, who lived perfectly in our place. If we go out trying to set the moral example, all we're going to leave unbelievers with is a big fat lie, because they don't believe it, folks. They don't believe it. They know that we Christians are as rotten as they are. They know it. They see right through it. Show them someone who doesn't have any sin and yet took it all on himself at the cross. That's called being a witness. Now, as far as the Buddhism goes, does Buddhism have anything like that? I mean, Buddhism is just another religion of one-upsmanship, isn't it? I'm more enlightened than you are. Nanny, nanny, boo-boo, I reached nirvana. You haven't yet. It's just like every other religion, with the exception of Christianity. Let me show you the Eightfold Path. Let me show you the Four Noble Truths. And all of them end up being what you need to do to dig yourself out of your own hole. That's it. The one thing that should be compared when comparing Christianity and Buddhism is whether or not Buddhism has a Jesus, a savior, a sinless substitute. What does Buddhism have? It has a Buddha, a great teacher, an enlightened master. It has a place for a Jesus, but it's not the Jesus who is the sinless substitute for all mankind. That's the only place we should compare truth claims. Jesus said he is who he is, and he would do what he did. He did it. And thereon rests the truth of the Christian faith. Time for one more comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Hi, this is Ron from Seattle. I'm a longtime listener. I want to let you know that I really enjoy the program very much, but I do have one issue I want to bring to your attention that bothers me. I strongly object to the use of a word from the 1960s drug culture to describe Issues Etc. fans. In my vocabulary, the word junkie will always mean only one thing, and that is a heroin addict. Using the word, as you sometimes do, really dumbs down the vocabulary of the show. Please try to find a better word for Issues Etc. fans, and please keep the comment line open. Thanks.
All right, we will keep the comment line open. The word junkie we use with no reference to the drug culture whatsoever. Simply people who like the show, love the show, can't get enough of the show. We mean it with all positive connotations rather than the negative ones. When we come back, we'll talk with Deaconess Pam Nielsen about Jesus healing 10 lepers. Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The state of Alabama put Planned Parenthood on probation. An abortion mill in Birmingham was caught repeatedly thumbing its nose at the law. State health officials found it failed to get parental consent 9 out of 9 times when it performed abortions on minor girls. Planned Parenthood has a week to present a plan showing they'll follow the law. Earlier, Life Action Films, while undercover, caught the abortion mill teaching a young girl how to skirt state statutory rape laws, a felony in Alabama. Planned Parenthood's credibility erodes as abortion mill after abortion mill is either caught breaking the law or an abortionist is found guilty of maiming or killing women. Congress must reverse its policy of huge funding for this organization in the business of death.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.